VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here from the VCY American Network. We're having a news roundup day today, and there is much news that we'd like to share with you, much that should burden our hearts toward prayer for our nation, toward our leaders, to understanding where we are as a society today, and to see the importance of sharing the good news of the gospel with a lost and dying world. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some of the stories we share today are going to be showing elements of that. But again, the urgency of us sharing the good news, because the hope, the only hope we have for this world is Jesus. We'd like to encourage you to be in prayer for those that are standing in the pathway of Hurricane Dorian, as it did become a Category 3 storm. Some winds up to 115 miles an hour, and the National Hurricane Center just announced today that it had approached Category 3 and possibly could hit Category 4 as it approaches southeastern Florida in particular. Be in prayer for those who are standing in its pathway, including listeners here to Crosstalk and outlets that are in the vicinity of that area that possibly could go up to Category 4. And so we do encourage you to be praying for those that are standing in its pathway. Outrage flowed freely at the Democratic National Committee's rules this week to only allow 10 of the current 20 presidential candidates making the cut for the next debate being held September 12th, reports the Western Journal. Only 10 ended up making the grade by Wednesday's deadline. They include Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Andrew Yang, Julian Castro, Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. The other candidates left off from being able to debate because of not meeting all the qualifications. On Wednesday, from the Daily Wire, Wednesday, Senator Ted Cruz took aim at Bernie Sanders for his praise of Communist China, in which Sanders stated that Communist China has made more progress in addressing extreme poverty than any country in the history of civilization. Well, Ted Cruz, who's been an aggressive opponent of the Communist China, fired back on Twitter, saying, sure, the Chinese communists have wrongfully imprisoned and tortured millions, and they have murdered over 65 million people. But Bernie may have a point. When you're dead, your poverty's solved, right? Interesting comeback there. Here we have from WND.com, a man at a hall event in South Carolina for 2020 Democratic hopeful Beto O'Rourke was booed for urging America to return to God and prayer in schools in response to an epidemic of mass shootings. He said, quote, I grew up with goals. I'm the son of immigrants. We prayed in school. The worst problem in school was chewing gum under the desk, the man said when given the microphone. Members of the audience responded with boos. One jeered, it's 2019. Another shouted, nobody wants to hear you give the mic back. The man continued. He said, the only thing that can save America is the word Jesus. Again, this angered the crowd. One O'Rourke supporter yelled out, separation of church and state. Another one said, told him to be quiet, used other terms, and said, go to church. O'Rourke responded, I appreciate your perspective, sir, but an onlooker said, I don't. Breitbart said that while O'Rourke asked the crowd to let the man finish, the former congressman later said, my bad for giving the mic out. Here we have from LifeNews.com, pro-abortion Senator Kirsten Gillibrand dropped out of the Democratic presidential race. She is a 100% pro-abortion voting record, recently voted against a bill to protect newborns from infanticide. She campaigned as a very ardent abortion activist. Gillibrand lumped pro-life advocates and racists into the same category. And matter of fact, during an interview with the Des Moines Register, made that categorization, calling both decidedly immoral. The New York senator said she would never consider appointing anyone with such beliefs to a court if she was elected. And I guess she just will not get that chance. Also, interesting story from CNSNews.com. CNN hosted former Duke University Psychiatry Department Chair Dr. Alan Francis to comment on President Trump's mental health, and the distinguished professor proceeded to claim that the president, quote, is as destructive a person in this century as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao were in the last century. CNN's Brian Stelter did not challenge Dr. Francis on the extraordinary assertion. In the 20th century, Hitler and Stalin launched World War II, killing an estimated 50 million people, including 6 million Jews that were deliberately exterminated in concentration camps. Also, the communist policies of Lenin and Stalin killed an estimated 25 million people in the USSR, and the communist regime in China that killed over 65 million. Lumping the mentally ill with Trump, this psychiatrist said, is terrible insult to the mentally ill, and they have enough problems and stigma as it is. The rhetoric from a psychiatrist saying that President Trump is as destructive as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao. Former Congressman Joe Walsh has also announced his candidacy for the 2020 nomination here for the GOP. He's vowing to defeat President Donald Trump. Newsmax says that the Cherokee Nation has announced it will, for the first time, appoint a delegate to Congress. It's a position that was promised in an 1835 treaty as part of compensation for relocating the tribe into what is now Oklahoma. Cherokee has nominated its Vice President of Government Relations, Kimberly Teehee, as its delegate, according to the Cherokee Phoenix. Teehee is a former advisor to President Barack Obama. Coming to us from Western Journal, Minnesota Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar is refuting an allegation that she's having an affair with a Washington, D.C. area political consultant whose firm has received thousands of dollars from the campaign. On Tuesday, the New York Post reported that the wife of political consultant Tim Minette said in a divorce ruling that her husband was having an affair with Omar. Dr. Beth Jordan Minette said her husband acknowledged this in a shocking declaration of love for Omar before leaving his wife. Moreover, a July report in the UK Daily Mail claimed that Omar had left her husband. And she was asked about whether she was separated. She says, no, I'm not. I have no interest in allowing this conversation about my personal life to continue. But an ethics watchdog has said, according to the LinkedIn profile, Tim Minette is a partner at East Street Group, and FEC records uncovered by the Daily Caller News Foundation revealed that her campaign paid out over $21,000 to East Street Group for travel expenses since April. That's the same month that Minette allegedly admitted to the affair. If Omar used campaign money to pursue this alleged event, then she may have violated campaign finance laws, says Tom Anderson at the Conservative National Legal and Policy Center. A lot of news sources picking up on that story this very week. Also, in regard to Ilhan Omar, she demanded this week that the United States bring in the United Nations to handle the border crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border, a move that would undermine the United States' national sovereignty. Omar made the remarks on Tuesday while speaking to her constituents during an immigration forum in South Minneapolis. And it was very interesting to hear statements made. She made those remarks suggesting without evidence that the U.S. government was arresting and deporting illegal aliens because they were poor. And if you keep in mind, in February, she called for elimination of the Department of Homeland Security, but now demanding that the U.N. take over the United States crisis at the border. From Newsmax.com, Joe Arpaio on Sunday announced his 2020 bid for a seventh term as sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, saying, quote, the last 4 years have proven to be a time of lost opportunities to continue the kind of tough policing this county needs. He wrote in a statement posted on Twitter, once back in office, I'll use my position to restore pride to our law enforcement ranks, not only here in the fourth largest county in America, but across the country. Townhall.com, Catalina Loeff, a 26-year-old Latina on a conservative, announced last week that she is running for Illinois 14th congressional district seat, hoping to unseat the incumbent there. She has been a lifelong conservative If she were to win, she would break the record as the youngest woman ever elected to Congress, which is now held by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at the age of 29. From FoxNews.com, Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson, the chair of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and a longtime Georgia lawmaker, announced Wednesday he will resign at the end of the year. In a statement, he cited his battle with Parkinson's disease. And another resignation this week as well, Sean Duffy will resign. He is a Wisconsin congressman. He's resigning in order to focus on his family, particularly his ninth child due in October, who said he will need even more love, time, and attention due to complications involving a heart condition. With much prayer, I've decided that this is the right time for me to take a break from public service in order to support my wife, baby, and family needs. He was a very impassioned pro-life leader in the House of Representatives. I'd like to air for you just one of his speeches from the House floor.
This is a bill that is protecting babies that can survive outside the womb. This is babies who can feel pain. That this institution wouldn't stand up for those vulnerable children in our society is a sad day for this institution. I have seven children. This is my sixth. This is Mighty V. This picture was taken with the two of us the day she was born. She's now 5 years old. She's gregarious, awesome, fun, the most beautiful joy in our family. The way the law stands today is that the day before this picture was taken, it would have been legal to abort Mighty V. I want to talk about women's rights. This is a little girl. This is a little baby girl who will one day grow up to be a woman. Let's stand up and protect this little girl, not the day that she was born only, but also the day that she's in the womb. Let's protect her from the pain of abortion. The silent screams of those babies who were aborted in the womb that aren't heard because they don't have voices in this institution defending them. I listen, Madam Speaker, I listen to the floor debate day after day, whether in this chamber or on C-SPAN, and I hear the other side talk about how they fight for the forgotten. They fight for the defenseless. They fight for the voiceless. And they pound their chests and they stomp their feet. You don't have anyone in our society that's more defenseless than these little babies. And we're not talking, listen, I believe in life at conception. I know my colleagues aren't going to agree with me on that. But can't we come together as an institution and say, we're going to stand with little babies that feel pain? We're going to stand with little babies that can survive outside the womb? Ones that don't have lobbyists, that have money, that can't rally, that can't offer contributions to your campaign? Don't we stand with those little babies? If you stand with the defenseless, with the voiceless, you have to stand with little babies. Don't talk to me about cruelty in our bill when you look at little babies being dismembered, feeling excruciating pain. If we can't stand to defend these children, what do we stand for in this institution? What do we stand for in America if we can't stand up for the most defenseless and voiceless among us? I yield back.
Congressman Sean Duffy of Wisconsin stepping down. This is one of his many speeches that he gave on behalf of life on the House floor, stepping down in the month of September as a complication setting in for the ninth child that his wife is expecting in October. Keep them in your prayers. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the camel store its water in its hump?
No, Chris, the camel does not store water in its hump, but it uses that hump to store fat from which it draws energy when it goes for long stretches without food or water. Actually, there are many specific design characteristics about a camel. It has extra long eyelashes to protect its eyes from wind in the desert. It has the ability to close up its nostrils to protect its lungs, and wide pads on its feet, which make walking on sand easier. Its thick coat of hair protects it from extreme temperatures. It has lots of physiological abilities which are moderated when it has to go without water. The camel has played a very important role in human history. In many ways, it's an obnoxious creature, but it's a marvel of God's design. He created all land animals on day 6 of creation week, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America and Friday News Roundup today, covering many different topics, issues. We're going to continue on this, a very impassioned speech here by Congressman Sean Duffy. We will no longer be hearing those coming from Congress as he steps down in September. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting if the federal Title X Family Planning Program will no longer dispense tax dollars to abortionists. Well, the state of Washington has decided it will forego the money entirely. Following Planned Parenthood, the Washington Department of Health informed the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services it will, too, withdraw from Title X rather than enforce the new rules. Washington is also among the states suing to invalidate the rule. Incidentally, had Washington complied, the Protect Life rule would have redirected money lost by abortionists and to give to health centers that are not involved in abortions, which dramatically outnumber Planned Parenthood locations in every state. From LifeNews.com, President Trump has stood up to pro-life values throughout his presidency. Now, according to a new report from a pro-life organization that lobbies at the UN, the Trump administration is rallying pro-life nations to stand up to the UN's pro-abortion agenda. A joint letter signed by the Secretary of State and also Secretary of Health and Human Services sent last month to ask governments to support U.S. pro-life efforts at the UN in the lead-up to a global health summit this September. UN delegates have been looking for such a letter for more than a year because it makes official the U.S. pro-life stance and will help them now in standing up to abortion forces in the U.N. bureaucracy and also in the European governments. Interesting, amazing story from LifeSiteNews.com. A remarkable cutting-edge medical intervention has given joy to a family and life to their baby boy who was threatened by a rare illness in the womb. Baby Edward, also known as Teddy, developed anemia while inside the womb, and in response, a doctor used an ultrasound sensor to insert a needle into the umbilical cord, which injected Teddy then with donated blood. Teddy received 5 blood transfusions in the womb before he was born. These were some of the earliest in utero interventions to ever be performed. The Society for the Protection of the Unborn Scotland Director of Communications, Michael Robinson, described the interventions there as being extraordinary. LifeSiteNews.com, for those of you in Missouri, for the time being, your state cannot enforce a law enacted in May banning abortion on babies with beating hearts. According to a temporary injunction that was issued Tuesday by U.S. District Judge Howard Sachs, the Missouri Stands for the Unborn Act requires abortionists to test for a fetal heartbeat prior to abortion, and if one can be found, the abortion is forbidden except in cases of medical emergency. Fetal heartbeats can be detected starting around 6 to 8 weeks of pregnancy. The Republican governor had signed it into law in May, slated to take effect beginning this Wednesday before the judge's ruling. The ruling, however, does not block other provisions of the law that ban abortion sought specifically due to the ethnicity of a child or of Down syndrome. From LifeSiteNews.com, some state legislatures in the U.S. are attempting to make it legal for minor children to get vaccinated, in particular with the controversial HPV shot, without their parents' consent. It's a move that advocate says robs parents of their God-given rights. Lawmakers in the New York State Assembly and Senate attempted to pass a bill this year permitting teens to consent to being vaccinated for HPV and hepatitis B, both sexually transmitted diseases. Aside from New York, California, Delaware, and D.C. permit teens under 18 to be vaccinated for HPV and hepatitis B without parental involvement, according to NBC's report. A bill was also introduced in New Jersey in May of this year amid a measles outbreak that would let teens as young as 14 be vaccinated against a number of diseases, including HPV, without parental consent. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a 20-year-old former star high school athlete from southeast Wisconsin hospitalized in Florida. Severe lung injuries, his family believes, linked to vaping. We just discussed this yesterday, or day before yesterday, with Dr. David Stevens. The man's father said he is in shock over how fast his otherwise healthy athletic son got sick. Last Wednesday, he was doing 25 to 30 pull-ups a day, and on Friday, there's talk of him being intubated. He said in an interview, that's how quick it goes. More than 400 teens and young people from across the country have contacted a law firm in Illinois in the last several weeks, describing a debilitating physical and psychological effects they said surfaced after weeks or months of vaping. According to Jacob Plantenberger, an attorney with Tor Horman Law in Chicago. Interesting. The lawsuit's named Juul Labs and its largest stakeholder, Altria, as defendants, as well as Philip Morris, for failing to warn, the design defect, negligent marketing, among other allegations. Also, here we have from Wisconsin, people who are 18 years of age, old, can legally buy tobacco or nicotine. A new law, or a new bill, would raise that to 21. Lawmakers are hoping to limit access to those products for high school students, whom they said are contributing to a public health crisis. From the Free Beacon, Americans spent on the order of $150 billion on cocaine, marijuana, heroin, and meth in 2016, according to a report. Researchers found that illegal narcotics generated as much business as the amusement and gambling industry in 2016. This coming from the defense, military.com, as the military services each roll out new policies regarding hemp-derived products like CBD, the Defense Department is not mincing words, saying, quote, it's completely forbidden for use by any service member in any of the services at this point of time, said Patricia Doister, the director of the Human Performance Lab at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland. The warning, along with the policies issued recently by the Air Force, Coast Guard, and Department of the Navy, comes as CBD is becoming increasingly ubiquitous across the country in many forms, from coffee additives to vaping liquids, candies, and other foods. Troops could find themselves testing positive for marijuana use if the CBD product they use contains too much THC. Service members who test positive are subject to Article 92 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice may receive an other than honorable discharge, which can carry a loss of veterans' benefits. Defense Department officials warning all CBD products forbidden to the troops. Newsmax.com, federal health officials issued a national warning yesterday against marijuana use by adolescents and pregnant women as more states legalize the increasingly potent drug for medicinal and recreational use. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and the Surgeon General made the announcement, calling marijuana a dangerous drug. The warning comes as legal marijuana has grown into a $10 billion industry in the United States, with nearly two-thirds of the states legalizing it, mainly for medicinal uses. An increasing number of states and localities are also allowing for personal and recreational use. Here's some good news from the Daily Signal. The new guidelines have gone into effect. The VA has lifted its ban on Bibles in a move to support religious freedom. It went into effect last month, referred to the Supreme Court ruling that allowed the cross-shaped memorial to World War One those who had died in World War One to continue standing. The High Court's decision highlighted the important role that religious symbols play in the lives of Americans and their consistency with constitutional principles. New guidelines call for inclusion in appropriate circumstances of religious content and publicly accessible displays at VA facilities, allow patients and their guests to request and be provided religious literature, symbols, and sacred texts during visits to VA chapels and during their treatment at the VA. They're also to allow the VA to accept donations of religious literature, cards, and symbols at its facilities and to distribute them to VA patrons under appropriate circumstances. Interesting story coming to us from the New American. Things may get some complicated. A recommended new scheme to fully integrate all schools within 10 years, as the New York Post reports, every school in the city should be engineered to match the exact racial mix of the city, and there should be no sorting by academic ability. An education panel handpicked by Mayor Bill de Blasio and Schools Chancellor Richard Carranza said yesterday, every gifted and talented program also should be scrapped, as well as nearly all screening processes which admit students based on factors like grades or behavior or attendance. This is to combat racial and socioeconomic inequality, according to the report. Within 3 years, every city school should reflect its community in terms of diversity. In 5 years, it should reflect its entire borough. And in 10 years, every school should be representative of the city as a whole. New York City's radical redistricting plan to make schools, quote, equally diverse. You know what's going on today? Or just announced here? CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, nation's largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization, that's their words, they have announced a formal partnership with the U.S. Census Bureau to promote American Muslim participation in the 2020 census to better represent the most diverse Muslim population in the world. CARE National Executive Director Nihad Awad said full participation in the census ensures the American Muslims will be better represented in Congress and that their communities receive an equal share in state and federal programs. From WND.com, an investigation by the Thomas More Law Center of Ann Arbor, Michigan, has uncovered a mandatory Islamic propaganda campaign being forced on teachers that leaves Christianity disparaged and America bashed. A statement from Richard Thompson, the chief counsel for the organization, said, "We found that the teachers were subjected to 2 days of Islamic propaganda where Islam was glorified, Christianity disparaged, and America bashed, all funded by taxpayers." Thomas More became concerned about this mandatory 2-day teacher training seminar promoting Islam by a Muslim consultant hired for $5,000 by Michigan's Novi Community Schools District. The legal group filed Freedom of Information Act request about the indoctrination and confirmed that the district presented no teacher training seminars on Christianity, Judaism, or any other religion. Most disappointing was the fact that the more than 400 teachers attending the workshop, not one teacher challenged the denigration of Christianity or attacks on America, Thomas More said. The audio presentation was reviewed by the legal team, riddled with errors. They said that ESSA provided no truthful information on Sharia and jihad, two of the most important aspects of Islam. All references to terrorism were dismissed as having nothing to do with Islam. White Christian males, she suggested, are more dangerous than Islamic radicals. Coming to us from WND.com, at least 4 illegal aliens have been arrested this month on rape charges in Maryland's Montgomery County that has declared itself a sanctuary for illegal aliens from federal immigration enforcement. Going to townhall.com, interesting story here, and involves Chick-fil-A. And some professors at University of Kansas are feeling so strongly that Chick-fil-A is a hate-mongering behemoth of evil that they're demanding that their school boycott and remove the sandwich chain from off their campus. The Kansas City Star reports that Chick-fil-A previously had a spot tucked away in the basement of an obscure building on campus, but after a new contract, the eatery was moved to a new and improved location. Also had a sponsorship with before every home a football game in the next few years. The KU's Sexuality and Gender Diversity Faculty and Staff Council sent a letter to the chancellor saying KU granted Chick-fil-A a bastion of bigotry, a prime retail location in the heart of our campus, moving Chick-fil-A to the union, granting it as a role and start of home football game violates the feelings of safety and inclusion that so many of us have striven to create, foster, and protect on campus. Folks, I don't know if they're worried that this chicken sandwich is going to get up and do something to folks or what, but talking about discrimination and hate and bigotry, I think some of professors there need to look in a mirror. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the Primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
Oh, this time is going by so quickly. I've got a lot more I'd like to share with you today on the program. A couple audio clips here as well. This is Crosstalk, a Friday News Roundup, and the interesting story from LifeSiteNews.com, an elementary school teacher packed a powerful punch in a two-minute testimony last month against a proposed law that would require teachers to affirm homosexual, lesbian, and transgender students. Her testimony occurred during a July 10th California Senate Education Committee hearing regarding AB 493. It's a measure known as Teachers, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Questioning Pupil Resources and Training. Well, she spoke before the panel of liberal California politicians. Her name is Rachel Olson. She's an elementary teacher. She's a 20-year veteran of the school system, and she referred to the training she had received from a program run by a contractor, Queerly Elementary. Just like you to hear her two-minute testimony that she gave before this Senate committee.
Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Olson, and I have been honored to be teaching TK through third grades in the public school system for the past 20 years. Today, I'm speaking as an individual. I would take a bullet for any child, regardless of their race, religion, or gender. However, I strongly oppose AB 493. If AB 493 became law, it may have harmful effects on many students and the rights of educators. In the Queerly Elementary gender training I recently received for grades TK through 8, I was told to use preferred pronouns to address students, to stop referring to students by their biological genders as boys and girls, and to teach sexual orientation and various gender identities. All of which seek to coerce teachers and students to accept and express ideas about gender and gender identity that may violate their individual beliefs and consciences, especially those who subscribe to the gender binary, which is rooted in objective biology as opposed to subjective thoughts or feelings. Biology is not bigotry. This bill may violate the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, which requires government neutrality on religion. LGBTQ trainings often cast aspersions upon sincerely held religious beliefs of many public school educators. The U.S. Supreme Court had determined that the government express ideas or thoughts with which they disagree. The U.S. Supreme Court also acknowledges that parents have the primary responsibility to raise their children, not the state. Tolerance is a two-way street. Families and students who have different views of sexuality and gender than are promoted by AB 493, for example, those who affirm the gender binary, must have their beliefs tolerated in our public schools. That is the law, and it is the right thing to do. This bill will likely lead to more families and students leaving our public schools to join growing ranks of private and home schools. Thank you.
Okay, so she gave that speech. One other person gave a two-minute speech, and then the chair of the committee spoke in response.
All right, I'll bring it back to the committee, but before I do that, I just want to say, as the proud mother of a gay daughter, I find a lot of what the opposition said to be quite offensive, and I think that if we as a society do not learn about other people, that is when we have bullying, and that is when we have problems. And I would put my daughter up against anyone's straight daughter, which we have a daughter who is straight. They are both wonderful young women, and who she loves should not change anything about the way she lives her life. So thank you for presenting this bill. I thank Assemblymember Bonta for bringing it forward, and I will bring it back to the committee.
And it took it back to the committee for a vote. And defying all morality and defying common sense, this committee passed this bill unanimously, 6-0. And I found it interesting. She really did not address the issues that the teacher raised in this regard, as they're trying to force those who believe in male and femaleness. You can't hold that belief. You cannot hold that belief. And you cannot teach that in the classroom. Do not refer to boys as boys and girls as girls in the classroom. Use pronouns that they wish to be identified as. The teacher saying, I object. And thank you, the teacher, for doing just that, Rachel Olson. The Christian Post reporting that an appeals court has ruled in favor of a Christian couple who oversees a film company that they were told by Minnesota officials that they must film same-sex weddings despite religious objections. But a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit decided last Friday that the Minnesota Human Rights Act violated the First Amendment rights of Carl and Angel Larson of Telescope Media Group. The decision largely overturned a lower court ruling against the Larsons and remanded their request for an injunction against the MHRA back to the district court level. Circuit Judge David Strauss, author of the court opinion, wrote that anti-discrimination laws, as critically important as they are, must yield to the Constitution. Brilliant, isn't it? But folks, we don't understand that. They're saying that, yes, this must yield to the Constitution. And what they're trying to do is trample on the constitutional rights of people all across this nation. And let's go to Kentucky. Reuters just reporting that the Kentucky County Clerk, who in 2015 gained widespread attention for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, may be sued for damages by two of those couples. A federal appeals court ruled last Friday. We're referring to Kim Davis. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that she can be sued in her individual capacity through sovereign immunity shielded her from being sued in her former role as the Roman County Clerk. Interesting indeed. Also, state of Idaho, Daily Wire reporting that the court has ordered Idaho to pay for sex offenders' trans surgery. The governor there refusing to use dollars. Governor Brad Little vowed to make sure taxpayer money is not diverted to the sex offenders' surgery, particularly because the treating physician and multiple mental health professionals maintain that it is not medically necessary. The Daily Signal reporting that a biologically male runner in the NCAA's top division is competing in women's cross country this fall. June Eastwood, who identified as a transgender woman, will represent the University of Montana at a cross country meet tomorrow. Eastwood competed on the men's track and cross-country teams through May of 2018. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reported, male athletes who identify as transgender women have an intolerable advantage over their female competitors, even after suppressing their hormone levels, a June paper published in the Journal of Medical Ethics concluded. Interesting. Probably going to be breaking new women's records tomorrow. By the way, Breitbart has a story covering NBC News where they did this piece that said heterosexuality just is not working. You heard it. Women are increasingly opting out of heterosexuality because it's the bedrock of their global oppression, NBC News asserted in a bizarre opinion piece this week. Men need heterosexuality to maintain their societal dominance over women, writes Marcy Bianco for the NBC News website. Women, on the other hand, are increasingly realizing not only that they don't need heterosexuality, but it is often the bedrock of their global oppression. As the status quo, heterosexuality is just not working, she concludes, before explaining just how evil men and how women are learning to live without them. Folks, it goes back to Genesis, doesn't it? As God created male and female, and certainly this is a direct attack on God and certainly on Scripture. LifeSiteNews.com, a library board in Kansas finds itself divided on a proposal to automatically bar registered sex offenders from participating in presentations at public libraries following outcry over the records of some drag queen story hour performers. After an event last year in which drag queens read pro-LGBT stories to children at Wichita's Advanced Learning Library, the community's library board is currently debating a proposal to automatically disqualify convicted sex offenders from presenting at libraries in the area. What's interesting, some past events are under fire. They've had convicted pedophiles and prostitutes in close proximity to children, yet the proposal has been met with some resistance. They are fighting this, folks. They want to be able to allow for pedophiles and prostitutes to do these drag queen story hours. Unbelievable, but it's going on. And Kansas is at a crossroads. What do we do with this? By the way, story that I just saw came out last evening from LifeSiteNews.com. It would be a conservative estimate. This is a quote from the head of the Satanic Temple, saying it would be a conservative estimate to say that more than 50% of our membership is LGBTQ. Lucian Graves, who runs the U.S. Satanic Temple, told UK-based Attitude magazine, from the start, when one of our early actions was the pink mass, a lot of LGBTQ people were looking for another community that didn't see them as defined by their sexual orientation. Satanic Temple has made a name for itself campaigning against pro-life laws in the name of religious freedom and supporting the LGBT lobby. Our chapters are always involved with pride parades in the United States. They're always doing something for the LGBTQ community, and they're always open about inclusion, said Greaves. Yeah, the Satanic Temple head. More than 50% of our membership, LGBTQ. Very interesting indeed. Yeah, I just want to play one other audio clip for you. I mean, this is came out from Congresswoman from New York, Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria, saying melting glaciers are threatening to release diseases that are thousands of years old. She posted this in an Instagram video warning of the dangers of climate change, saying they're going to get into our water. Just listen to what AOC had to say.
There are a lot of diseases that are frozen in some of these glaciers. That scientists fear that there's a potential that a lot of diseases could escape these melted glaciers, things that were frozen for thousands of years, and that they're going to get into our water and that humans could contract them, and they are going to be diseases that are thousands of years old that have vectors that we are not prepared for, that we have never seen. And so, you know, that's a concern. Even if there are no diseases frozen at all in these glaciers, you have diseases that are spread by mosquitoes. And now mosquitoes are starting to fly further north that carry diseases like malaria and a whole slew of other things. And there are, you know, parts of the United States and things that are moving much further north that we're going to have to contend with. Diseases that we haven't had to contend with in parts of the world before. So there's disease.
Yeah, there is disease. And mosquitoes, has she never visited Wisconsin or Minnesota? Wasn't it the national bird up in this part of the world? Interesting indeed. And talking about that there these melting glaciers are threatening to release thousands of years old diseases. But then says, well, even if they don't have diseases, then we got a mosquito issue. So very interesting, but rather bizarre comments being made by AOC. And on that front, Bernie Sanders is talking about needing to prosecute oil executives as criminals, saying fossil fuel executives should be criminally prosecuted for the destruction that they have knowingly caused. Sent that out on Twitter, that is. And then also, it's suggested in responding to this campaign trail question that came to him yesterday, talking about imposing a meat tax. Yeah, a meat tax in order to combat climate change. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're opening our phone lines. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll take your calls here in the final segment today, 800-733-9829. By the way, the Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, suggesting that if a meeting with President Trump were to take place, that the U.S. would have to bow down to Iran and repent from economic terrorism against Iran. Interesting statement. We'll be back in just a minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. The tragedy of the shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio have and should have shown you the brainwashing going on in America and how the progressive, liberal, Marxist, and the Islamist will take a false narrative and drag it right into the middle of a story. We heard right away that the shooter in El Paso was a white nationalist, a Trump supporter. Yet his own manifesto said not only was he not a Trump supporter, it went on to declare that he was a supporter of liberalism. I'm talking neo-Nazism. He promoted the idea of a radical green agenda, like Hitler promoted, sustainable development, population control. He promoted the idea of keeping the races separated so they would not mix, a form of eugenics, if you will. The evidence is overwhelming. He was a neo-Nazi. And then in Dayton, Ohio, a progressive. Again, the false narrative is dragged into the middle of a scenario to brainwash the American people to get them to give up their liberties and their freedom. Don't be brainwashed.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our number, 800-733-9829. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow being the last day of the month, and that also ends the 23rd anniversary month for our VCY bookstore. And I just wanted to remind those of you who are interested in Bible study and Bible commentaries that the Warren Wiersbe Bible Commentary Set, two hardback editions, they have them down reduced by 45% through tomorrow. Just wanted to make mention of that. You can check it out at vcy.com, or call at 1-888-722-4829. Expires tomorrow, 1-888-722-4829. Let's go to Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Zoltan and Lance, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I wanted to make a comment in regards to the death toll. You were listing of the regimes in the 20th century and the numbers of people that they killed. And when you talked about Mao and the Chinese and somewhere around 65 million, and of course my ears perked up because that's how many we flushed here of our own. But I thought about it and I thought...
You mean by abortion?
Hello?
Yeah, by abortion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by abortion. And then I thought, the numbers you're listing don't include, and I don't know the numbers, but I'm certain that there's literally hundreds of millions killed in China with their one family, one baby. So, but those numbers don't get listed in the atrocity of the murders. You only hear about political dissidents, malcontents, troublemakers, undesirables, but they never include their own citizens that they flush.
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
Which is hundreds of millions more.
Yeah. Thank you, Zoltan. Appreciate the response there and the comments. Let's go to Salina, Kansas. George, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to ask a quick question on, as Christians, we're supposed to be aware of our watching the news and everything, and because the news causes fear, you know, and then it gets us distracted. Kind of the same question of, isn't that kind of like what we're doing right now in this program, that, you know, it's causing fear? Because I'm kind of afraid of, you know, the end times. You know, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord and everything, and I know I'm going to have to stand up for what we believe in, but it's very fearing, you know, and I know God, you know, we're supposed to give it to God, and, you know, God will take the fear out of us, but you know, I mean, what are we actually doing, you know?
George, let me explain that, and I've done that on many, many of these roundup programs in particular. But first of all, understand this. God is in control. God never is calling an emergency session into order. God is never taken by surprise when some world leader makes such and such a decision. God ordained what, you know, from the beginning of time till the end of time. So God's in control. Understand that. Understand also that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. Certainly we see the warnings that have been given. We see them all throughout Scripture. The watchman on the wall who had the duty of warning when danger is out there. And if he gave the warning and the people wouldn't listen, at least he was kept from being accountable for that information. But if he withheld that information, he had to bore accountability as a result for that. So we, as a watchman on the wall, shout that there's danger that's approached in this world today. But the importance for us to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We see Nehemiah with the workers there on the wall, how they, it was so necessary for them, to, as they had, you know, their weapon in one hand, they had to protect themselves and also their working tool in the other hand. But recognizing God is in control, and certainly our trust and confidence is in Him. And even as Paul warned to Timothy that in the last days perilous times will come, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, proclaim the word. And George, I would trust that this program would help us understand the importance of getting out the gospel message while there is time, because judgment is coming. We don't know God's timetable. We don't know when that is going to befall, but we know we are to proclaim the word. So that's the position. We need to be understanding of the times in which we live, but not to be not to despair. I mean, we certainly our hearts break as to what's happening. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet when he saw all that was taking place. Nehemiah was broken when he saw his city that was broken down as a result. But it spurred him to action, and that's what it should do for us as well.
Yeah, thank you for the encouragement.
Thank you, George. Claudia in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes. There were several comments that I wanted to make. I obviously live in a Bible Belt, and many of the principles of a Bible Belt are withheld within Hamilton County of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the BS that's being handed down from Congress from the left.
Okay, well, Claudia, in one sentence, give us your main point, if you would. You know, and I think it's important to understand the importance of us not just being in the Bible Belt and what comes down through it as such, but to make sure that we are in the Bible itself. And I'm not sure where you're fully going with your comments, but thank you for taking time to give us a call here today. Steve, in Kansas, you're on the air.
Jim, we had a clip from the Cortez woman saying she is worried about the glaciers melting and the disease coming out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've seen this or not. This is coming from a woman who on YouTube didn't know what a garbage disposal was for. So where does she get the scientific knowledge if she doesn't know what a garbage disposal is for? Yeah, know this about the glaciers melting.
Interesting thought. And Janice in Tennessee, a few seconds we have left. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay, sure. It really breaks my heart that women can't compete in their own sports. And a woman that wants to be a man, are they breaking any of the men's records?
I don't believe I've seen any of the records broken in that regard, but we've seen several biological males who identify as females that are breaking their records in sports and obliterating the hard work that so many biological females have gone to set those records. We're out of time, Janice. Thank you for the call. And folks, again, continue to keep our nation in prayer. Let's proclaim the Word of God to a world that's in need. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.